All right. Well, if you would take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 15, Mark and chapter number 15, we're deviating from our series a little bit tonight. Take a little break. This is the Passion Week. It was initiated on that Sunday, that Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And people laid their palm branches down and their garments down and began to cry in celebration, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that kind of starts the Passion Week. And as I mentioned, I believe that Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room on Tuesday night. Wednesday, he was crucified. And on Wednesday, as he's headed to the cross, there is a detail here that is mentioned, and most of us are familiar with it. It's found in verse number 21. But before we get there, let's go ahead and pick it up in verse number 15, where it says, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people." And that's a message in itself, isn't it? Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. There was no fault in him. The people kept saying, "Hey, you need to do this. You need to crucify him. You need to crucify him." And instead of standing for what he knew was right, he said, "Okay, well, I'd rather please the people than be right." And how often we can get like that in our own lives, where we go, "Well, I know what's right, but I know what everybody will think if I do what's right, then... and so I'm going to please the people instead of pleasing the Lord ultimately." And Pilate had that opportunity. Now, obviously, the sovereignty of God, Jesus needed to go to the cross. Jesus needed to become our sacrifice. But Pilate still could have made a different decision here. But yeah, in verse 15, "Willing to content the people, he released Barabbas unto them." They would rather have had a robber, a murderer, released back into their society than have Jesus back in their society. And that's telling of the culture that was there. "So he released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him." And here's the verse we're going to zero in on here in verse number 21. "And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, to bear his cross. And tonight, I want to speak to you very briefly tonight about this idea of compelled to carry his cross. And let's pray, and we'll get into this message together tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to examine this portion of the crucifixion account. And it's a minor detail that is just briefly mentioned in three of the four Gospels. But Lord, it's not a minor detail. It's significant, one that we need to take heed to and take note of and apply to our own life. And God, I pray that you would help me tonight as I speak about this. Help me to be clear, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Compelled to carry his cross. Jesus dealt with, and we read about it a moment ago, he dealt with tremendous amount of torture before he was called to carry the cross. Back in verse number 15, it says at the end of that verse, he delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. scourging there in John's account. He scourged Jesus to try to appease the people, and that didn't work. They still wanted Jesus to be crucified, but scourging was when that prisoner was taken and either hung by his hands or at least on like this. I'm picturing like a pillar and having his hands tied up at the top of that pillar, around that pillar, and so his back, the skin on his back is stretched really tight. And then the soldiers would take a cat of nine tails, which was a leather strap with nine different little miniature leather straps attached to that. And then each one of those little straps was a sharp object at the end of it, like a piece of rock or a shell or a stone or something like that that would grab into the flesh of the prisoner. And so the Roman soldiers would take that and they would whip it around, and those things would latch into the skin of the prisoner, and Jesus in this case. And then they didn't just carefully go, "Oh, sorry about that," and carefully remove them. No, they would rip it out. And so his torso was totally ripped to shreds. The Jews had a, remember Paul said of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Remember when he said that? Well, the Jews were the ones who said they only did 39 stripes, 39 whips. But the Romans were the ones who administered the scourging to Jesus. And so they had no custom. They just kind of did it to when they were satisfied, when they thought, okay. And in many cases, historians tell us that the people actually died from scourging itself. It caused so much blood loss, and the amount of pain there was just insurmountable, and people actually died from just the scourging. Well, Jesus was scourged. And then he had the crown of thorns placed on his head. We have a crown of thorns up here. And that was obviously meant out of mockery, but also to inflict pain. And then on and on it went. They actually took a reed and knocked that crown of thorns probably deeper into his skull. And then they smote him on the head in verse number 19. And then they also, there's another, one of the other gospels mentions that they began to hit him in the face and pull his beard. And so he's dealing with all of this physical torture and abuse. And then they tell him, okay, now it's your turn. Now you need to carry your own cross up to Golgotha. And that cross, was not light like this. I mean, I can lift this cross, no problem. But the cross that Jesus had to carry up that hill was not light. It was many Bible scholars and historians tell us that it was at the very least about 150 pounds. Probably up to, more likely up to about 300 pounds. And so as Jesus is carrying this cross up towards his place of execution, where he is going to be the sacrificial lamb that's going to take our place, he falls underneath that weight. Because of the physical pain and the weakness that probably from the loss of blood there from the scourging, he just didn't quite have enough muscle to get that cross up the hill. And so he falls down. And verse 21 says, the soldiers, the word when it says, and they, it's referring to the Roman soldiers who were assigned to escort Jesus up the hill. And can you imagine in your mind's eye that they were not, encouraging him, come on, just a little farther. You can do it. You can do it. They had these whips and they were yelling at him and ordering him to keep going. Well, he falls underneath that, and try as they might, they weren't going to get him to do any further. And it just so happens that Simon was there, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country. They pull him out of the crowd. and ask him to bear his cross. And I just say this, every time I read that, I think, what a privilege for Simon to be called to be the one to carry the cross of Jesus to the place where Jesus was going to be crucified. Now, I want to examine this and dissect this a little bit tonight, briefly. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to go through just a few thoughts here. First, I want to, as we consider here compelled to carry his cross, I want to see, first of all, the person who was compelled to carry the cross. Now, he was, this Simon was a Jew. Why do we know that? Because of his name. His name was Simon, and there's another Simon in the scriptures who was a Jew, Simon Peter. And so he was a Jew, but he was from Cyrene. He was a Cyrenian, what Mark says here. Now, Cyrene was not in Israel at all. In fact, it was further than even Egypt was. It was just west of Egypt. And so the amount of time that it took Simon to get to Jerusalem for that Passover celebration was not exactly where he could just call a quick Uber and be there in a few minutes. It was 800 miles away from where the crucifixion took place is where his home was. So he was a little bit far from home. I don't know if you've ever, you've been driving around and you see like a California license plate and you're going, okay, well, they're kind of far from home. And you see like a New Hampshire license plate here in Oklahoma. You're like, boy, they're really far from home. And you know, Alaska, wow, that is really far from home. Well, that was kind of like Simon being from Cyrene. He was far from home. And to get there, I mean, he had to take a lot of preparation. It wasn't like he just goes, you know what, on a whim, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. No, it had to be planned for him to be there for this celebration. Probably took about a month. He probably left about a month before the actual event. He was from Cyrene. The Bible here also gives us another detail who passed by. So he was there for that purpose of being there at the Passover. He was happened to be just there. And again, just happened to pass by. God's sovereignty, you think, well, I just happened to be there. There's a reason why we are where we are. God is in control. The Bible also gives us another detail about him in verse 21. He was a father. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And he was close enough to what was going on. Now, obviously, there was commotion and there was a crowd gathered around. And there would have been in that day to see these criminals carry their own cross up a hill. And I don't know if this happened with every criminal, but certainly with Jesus, it did. Now, he, of course, was not a criminal, but everybody thought he was because he claimed to be the Son of God. And so the person here is just kind of an ordinary man who traveled quite a bit of distance to get to this place, but he was pulled out of the crowd to do something. He was kind of an ordinary man, but he was called out to do something pretty extraordinary. And as I look across the room today, all of us are, and I don't mean this to slight anybody, but all of us are pretty ordinary. It's not like we're mega celebrities. It's not like, you know, wherever we go, people know who we are. Maybe you've been in this town enough to where that's the case for you. But I think all of us would say we're pretty ordinary people. But that doesn't mean that God can't use us to do something extraordinary. And Simon was that type of person. He was an ordinary man who had just traveled a long distance to get to celebrate the Passover. And he was a dad, and he was way far from home, and he just happened to be at the right place at the right time to be available to do something extraordinary. So we see first the person, but then I want us to look here at secondly, the pressure. The pressure. So he's there watching this scene unfold before him, and he sees Jesus, and Jesus falls right where Simon is. And so they're looking for someone who maybe has the strength that could carry that cross. Again, at least 150 pounds up to potentially 300 pounds. And they're looking and scanning the crowd, and their eyes fall upon Simon as one that they feel like could bear the cross. And I'm assuming that if I were there, they would have probably landed on me too, because they're like, that guy is strong enough, no doubt, to carry that cross. Now I'm kidding, but obviously with Simon, that was the case. He was a strong individual. So the Bible says in verse number 21, they compel one, Simon, a Cyrenian. He was compelled. They compelled him to do it. Now, last Sunday night, when we talked about compel them to come in to the house of God, when it comes to compelling others from the highways and hedges to come into the Father's house, that we talked about, it doesn't mean, you know, you get a gun and put them at gunpoint and say, you will come to church with me on Resurrection Sunday. No, it means to constrain or to convince. Well, in the context here, Simon was pressed, perhaps even by force, though, from the Roman soldiers. I would assume that they grabbed him and said, hey, you're going to carry this cross up there. And he realized, look, there's no arguing with these Roman soldiers. I'm going to do what they're telling me what to do. And so he was pressured to do that. But as I was thinking about that, just as Simon was compelled and pressured to bear the cross, you and I are also compelled to carry a cross, aren't we? And it's not from some angry Roman soldiers who are threatening us. No, it's from the Lord Jesus himself. Now, I know that the Roman soldiers were the ones probably pressuring him, but I can't help but think that could Jesus have carried that cross all the way up the hill by himself? Could he have done that? Or did he stop there on purpose to allow Simon that opportunity to bear the cross, to show us that we also need to bear our cross? Your Bible's open to Mark chapter 15, but if you go back to chapter number 8, I want to look at some words of Jesus that might be familiar to you as you're turning there. Mark 8 and verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And so here in verse number 34 of chapter 8, Jesus himself is compelling all of us and putting a little bit of pressure upon us to take up our own cross. But before we do that, we have to deny ourselves. And then we have to, after we take up his cross, we need to follow him. And of course, he was the ultimate example because he took up his cross. He was willing to do that, and he didn't deserve to do it. But he did it for us because he loved us. So there's the pressure that that Simon felt. He was compelled. And it was like he was pretty much forced, I'm sure. Now, Jesus isn't forcing us, but he is pressing us to do that. There is a little bit of pressure. And so I want us to see number three, though, as we continue on, the pain, the pain. See, the cross that Jesus carried was incredibly heavy, as We already mentioned the weight of it, but we also are reminded that this cross that he was carrying, it wasn't padded. It wasn't, there wasn't like silk covering over this thing. It wasn't like it didn't have like a pillow top. I mean, this was rough, hard, heavy timber that Jesus was carrying. And remember, he wasn't like he had like all this clothing with, I'm gonna have a bunch of pads, layers of clothing that's gonna act as a pad between me and the cross. No, it was his skin coming right in contact with that rough wood. It was not comfortable. And I imagine that as he was carrying that, there was probably splinters that he was getting into his back that was already torn to shreds. It was painful. Splinters, I don't know that anybody likes getting splinters. Last week I was working on our fence to our backyard, and I was trying to fix some things and handling the different boards that I was working with. Well, I ended up with a splinter. But don't worry, I got it out all by myself. And I didn't even have to hold anybody's hand at it when that happened. Splinters are no fun, and they hurt. And this cross that Jesus was carrying was not comfortable. It was heavy and painful to carry. And if you know and you think about it, the whole purpose of that cross was to inflict pain and ultimately death. It was an instrument of torture. It was an instrument of death. So the cross that Jesus compels us to carry, well, that one is all comfortable and cozy, isn't it? No. I wish that cross was light. I wish it was easy. I wish it was comfy. But it's also an instrument of pain and sacrifice as well. So we don't have to turn there, but back in Mark 8, when he says, let him deny himself, is that comfortable to do? Is that comfortable? Is that light and easy? No. The hardest person for us to say no to is ourselves. Because we like to say yes to ourselves. We like to please ourselves and to obey our flesh and to please ourselves. But Jesus said to deny ourselves. That's not easy. This year, I have decided to try to do a little bit of denying myself, and this has been a challenge. But I actually started it a little before Thanksgiving, and that is I'm not doing soda this year. And I like soda. I like Dr. Pepper. That's kind of my thing, and that's big here in Oklahoma. I like soda. But I have chosen to, one of the words that has come in, that stuck out to me recently is the word temperance. And that another word for that is denying yourself. And it's not to say that you have to, anybody has to do these things, but in order to be spiritual, that's not at all what I'm trying to say. It's just something that I'm doing for me to deny myself, to say no to Eric. Because sometimes I say yes to Eric too much. And denying ourselves is not comfortable. It's not easy. I'm telling you, there's times when I see other people order Dr. Pepper and I'm like, huh. Okay. And that's a small thing. That's a little minor thing. But there's, so if you can kindly, if you're with me, don't order Dr. Pepper. It's hard. It's hard for me. I'm just saying, when you deny yourself, it's not easy. It's not easy. Taking up the cross. What are some crosses that we can pick up that are not easy? Well, taking up the cross of seeking the Lord. It's not that that's difficult. It takes time. It takes effort and to read God's word, to get up a little bit earlier, to say no to some extra sleep. Well, hey, I'm really tired. I need sleep. Well, do we need the scriptures more than we need sleep? Seeking the Lord requires spending time in prayer and giving some time and effort and energy to that and focus. And in our modern culture with the distractions of cell phones and the internet and computers and TV screens and all the things, it's hard to focus on prayer. I would encourage you to take up the cross of seeking the Lord. Is it going to be difficult? Is it comfortable? No, it's not always comfortable, but it's worth it. Take up the cross, secondly, of separation from the world. God does call us to come out from among them and be separate. And is that easy? No, because this world doesn't always understand. This world doesn't quite get it. They see a difference in us and they don't understand, but that's one of the reasons why God wants us to be different, is so that they will see a difference in us and they will see something that, hey, there's a difference there, and why are they different like that? And it opens up opportunities for witnessing. But separation from the world, when we're not trying to do this in order to be spiritual, but in our quest to be like the Lord and to be holy, we're going to have to say no to some things that maybe we said yes to before. And is it comfortable? No. Making these changes isn't always comfortable. It's a change of schedule. It's a change of priorities and values. And it's not always comfy cozy. Sometimes it brings splinters and difficulty in our life, but it's the right thing to do. Think about the cross of evangelism. Is that a comfortable cross to carry? No, it's not. It's just kind of nicer to kind of, hey, I'm minding my own business. You know, hey, I'm covered, and I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. My sins are forgiven. But man, that's your decision. That's you. I'm going to stay over here in my lane, and I'm not going to try to, you know, try to get all up in your grill. You know, I'm going to stay out of your business. Well, God says we are to be concerned with people enough to get into their business a little bit and say, hey, where are you going after this life is over? Do you know the Lord? And that is uncomfortable. That causes a little bit of pain. It requires some sacrifice of time, of pride, of it requires some sacrifice. Taking up next the cross of service. Being involved in the ministry is not always comfortable. It's not always easy. Not everyone appreciates it. And it's painful at times. But I want to balance it out with this thought. So Jesus says, take up your cross. And that cross is painful, and it's heavy, and it's difficult. But he also said, if you turn into Matthew chapter number 11, I'm going to show you this, and then we'll wrap it up here with one more thought. Matthew chapter number 11, and verse number 28. So Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. But then he also said in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So which one is it? Take up your cross, which is heavy and painful, or take his yoke upon you, which is easy, and take his burden, which is light? I would say, which one is it? Yes, it's both. It's both. And taking up the cross of seeking the Lord, does it require sacrifice? Is it sometimes difficult and challenging? And does it require sacrifice? Yes. But when you do it, it's a blessing. When you are in God's word and you're finding out things about the Lord that maybe you have forgotten, or maybe that the Lord is teaching you, I'm telling you, the joy and the blessing of that is, it makes that cross seem like it's a feather. It required some sacrifice. It required a little bit of sacrifice of time and energy and focus, but the blessing far outweighs it. His burden is light. Well, the cross is separation from the world. Well, man, I'm going to have to say no to some of these movies that I used to watch. I mean, you know, I really like all these movies. Well, when you take that cross upon yourself, is it sacrificial? Yes, because, man, I was so ingrained in that. It was such an addiction to me, and that music or whatever it is. And then you start doing it, and pretty soon you're like, actually, I don't miss that anymore. I'm actually glad I'm not into those things anymore, because now I'm not being influenced by that, and it's not draining me. You see what I'm saying? It's not one or the other. It's both. The cross of evangelism, is that a difficult one? Yes, it does cause a little pain. But when you get to be a part of giving the life-changing message of the gospel to somebody and they get saved, or you know that at least the seed has been planted, man, I'm telling you, there is a joy that comes. I mean, Psalm 126, he shall come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He shall come again. And there is joy for those who are a part of this. So is there sacrifice? Is it painful? Is it inconvenient? Yes. But there is tremendous blessing that makes the cross that you're carrying seem like a feather. Cross of service. Is there challenges in the ministry? Yeah. But the blessings far outweigh the challenges. So there is pain, but just know that when you by faith take up that cross, then you get to participate in something that is actually pretty wonderful. Let's look lastly here this evening at the product. The product. So back in Mark 15, verse 21, they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So what became of Simon of Cyrene? Well, Simon is only mentioned in the scriptures right here in the crucifixion account. He is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're the only ones that mentioned him. John did not. He left him out. But it's just the parallel passage. That's the only time that Simon is mentioned. So what became of him? Well, we don't know exactly, but there is a detail that Mark gives in his account. In verse 21, he mentioned that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, why is that so significant? Well, likely the readers of Mark's gospel account would have been familiar with these two sons of Simon. So who were these two boys? Well, probably they were the ones mentioned later in the New Testament. And Alexander has mentioned, I think, four different times, and I really don't know which Alexander is the Alexander here. So we're not going to look at the passages regarding Alexander, because I'm not sure which one it is that is Simon's son. But Rufus, there's only one other Rufus mentioned in the scriptures. In the New Testament, if you go to Romans chapter number 16 very quickly, Romans chapter number 16, Romans 16 and verse number 13, as Paul is greeting and giving these greetings and wanting to say hello to different people, individuals, if you go down to verse number 13, he says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, I cannot prove that this Rufus is the same Rufus as Simon's son. But he is the only other Rufus mentioned in the Bible. So there's two Rufuses, his name mentioned twice in the Bible, once in Mark 15 and once here in Romans 16. I happen to believe that it is probably the same Rufus. Same son, same boy. Now, here Paul says about Rufus that he was chosen in the Lord. And this probably means that he was a leader in the early Christian church at some point. And he also mentions his mother, who he didn't, you know, he said his mother and mine. So does that mean that Paul and Rufus were brothers? I think probably only brothers in the Lord. But his mother probably was a blessing to Paul at some point down the road, maybe made him a really good, you know, meatloaf or something. I'm not sure. Somewhere along the line, his mother ministered to the Apostle Paul, and he wanted to salute his mother. And she kind of was his, like, in-town mom. You know how that goes. Now, according to William Barker's book called Everyone in the Bible, that I have in my office, he says about Rufus that there is a profusion of legends about Rufus in when he is represented variously as bishop or pastor of three different areas of Avignon, Thebes, and of Capua, and a tireless traveler into such areas as Spain and the Alps. And also, according to tradition, these two boys, Alexander and Rufus of Simon, accompanied Peter and Andrew on some of their missionary journeys. And according to tradition, we don't have that in the scriptures. But anyway, the point is, if these were the Alexander and Rufus that were the sons of Simon and Cyrene, it's likely that Simon and his wife's faith made an impact on the lives of their boys that no doubt was at least enhanced because of him picking up that cross and bearing it for the Lord's sake. I mean, can you imagine picking up that cross? And on that cross, there was blood, and it was the very blood of Jesus. And he was coming in contact with that blood. And Jesus was there too, and he got to look at Jesus as he was carrying that cross. I mean, what a privilege. What a privilege. And, you know, for those of us who have children and grandchildren, if we're faithful to carry our cross, how is that going to impact our children? Rufus and Alexander, I think you can make at least a case that their lives were impacted because of this. And I know it's a little bit of putting things together, and are you sure that these are the same guys? I'm not 100% sure, but I think that Mark mentioned them. Mark mentioning them says that they were at least well known in the community, in the church. And I think that probably the same guys. And these guys had a love for the Lord, and it's because Dad was willing to bear his cross. Are you willing to bear your cross? And what difference is it going to make for the future generation? So tonight, we'll end with this thought. What cross is Jesus compelling you to carry tonight? Pick it up. Pick it up. Feel a little pressure from the Lord tonight. Simon, he was compelled. May you feel a little compelled tonight to, hey, whatever cross that God wants me to pick up, it could be one that I mentioned or something else that I didn't. What cross is Jesus compelling you to carry tonight? Can I encourage you to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow him? Because it is a privilege to carry a cross. I'll end with this verse, Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I went through the pain. I took up my cross, and I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm thankful that he was willing to go through all of that for me. And now the least I can do is carry the cross that he's compelling me to carry, because he was willing to carry his cross for me. And Simon had the opportunity to carry the cross of Jesus. You and I have the choice and the chance and the opportunity to carry the cross that he's calling us to do. Let's pick it up tonight.